Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio, and I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight, Dr. G. Dr. G, you on the line?
I'm here.
Amen. Praise God. I thank God to be able to get together one more time. I know Sheila G has some guests from out of town, so she's not going to be with us tonight. But we're going to go ahead and get started. Open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we would be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. G, we made it through another week. I know last week it was a little rough physically. one day it was me, the next time it was you, but we know that God is a healer. And I'm getting better. Prayerfully, you're getting better as well.
Amen.
We know that sometimes the physical body has to lay down, has to get some rest, and we thank God for His healing power. But we're going to get into the Word. Last time we were together, we were studying the fifth chapter of Acts, and we were seeing again, how Peter and John were witnessing in the first century church. And there was a pattern of them ministering and then getting attacked, ministering and getting attacked. And on last week, they were ministering and they began to get persecuted by the religious rulers of that time. And I was reviewing the lesson, and there's always going to be a political attack, and there's always going to be a religious attack of people who are trying to use religion and politics for their own benefit under the guise of trying to help people. But basically, they're trying to stay in charge and benefit themselves. And so Peter and John were attacked by the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that time, and they were trying to stay in power and manipulate the people. And even in today's society, we see the same thing happening, that people in politics, whether you're whatever your political affiliation is, people are trying to stay in power and in religion, as far as with whatever denomination you are. You have certain people in leadership that try to stay in power, and they misuse and abuse the people, and they don't tell the truth. And we see here that Peter and John were cast into prison, and the Sanhedrin, or this religious council, were trying to squash their teaching about the truth. And you always find that, whether it's, like I said, religion or politics, that those political leaders and religious leaders will lie, manipulate, and coerce and try to brainwash people so that they don't believe the truth. And that's what the Bible does. The Bible will give it to you straight, give you the truth. Now, whether we want to believe it or not is one thing, but, you know, the Bible says that every man be found a liar, and only God is true. And what happens is, as we study this Bible, we begin to see truly that the spirit of Antichrist is in the world, that political leaders are corrupt, religious leaders are corrupt, and we have to learn to stand on the Word of God. And when we stand on the Word of God, God will fight our battle, and God will bring us out. But that doesn't negate the fact that there's going to be times of struggle, times of persecution for standing on the truth. And when they were cast into prison, last week we talked about they were at their physical wit's end, but spiritually, God sent an angel and delivered them out of their condition of being in a jail. And, you know, at the end of that lesson, the week before last, we were talking about a look at God moment. And as we looked at God delivered them, that he was the only one that could deliver them. And I think that's where our faith has to walk, by faith and not by sight, is when we get in these situations where we're persecuted, where we're down, where we're out, that we really had to rely on God, because in and of our own power, we can't come against these challenges. But when we rely on God and remain faithful and do what he says, late in the midnight hour, we talked about that, God turned it around, and we have to work our way through the night. And as we work our way through the night, we have to be like the psalmist to say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me." And so even in the midnight hour, even in the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. But sometimes it's a little difficult while you're going through it. But if you trust in God and you have some faithful few around you, you can make it until you get your deliverance and you get your breakthrough. And I think that's one of the hardest things, Dr. G, as Christians and believers, is having the patience to wait on God long enough to get our breakthrough, Dr. G.
Well, you're absolutely right. I've seen it many a time, and I've got folk within my church now, because things didn't go right or work the way they thought it should, you know, they began to take off and run. And we both have gone through it about a week ago, because I was scheduled to baptize this past Sunday, had two, and I was determined that going to baptize if I had to wear sunshades, because of the eye situation, and because I took that stand, the devil threw everything he possibly could. The eye was in pain, blood red, and I basically had to wear sunshades everywhere all day long. And in the midst of that, Minister Harris came and he preached, And the message was so powerful mm-hmm. that three other young men came up, and two of them wanted to be baptized mm-hmm. at that same day. So we went to what we had to do, and God got the glory. He got the victory out of that. But it definitely takes a stand of faith. And as you said, you know, there are times when the body gets beat up, we get beat up because, you know, we feel like mm-hmm. we're standing by ourselves. And that's a lonely feeling when all you can do is but pray. And, I mean, you know that God is going to mm-hmm. be there, but that's real faith, and it takes a strong faith to do that.
Amen, amen. And it's those moments, and then, and like you said, God allows you to be there because of your faith, and then just to have that message preached and those people to come up, that lets you know the spiritual battle that we are in. And,
amen.
You know, you had to go through all of that so that those young men could get their breakthrough. And, you know, on the week before last, we were talking about after Peter and John had been released, the angel told them, go back to work.
Go back
into the temple and teach. And you know, that's what ministry is all about. It's like you, through the ups and through the downs, you know, you just can't, you know, after you've gone through the downs, you just can't stop. And, you know, I know you've been through it longer than I have, but you go through those things where you get beat up, you get beat down, you're exhausted physically, spiritually, mentally, and you know you go through it, and you see God will show you, hey, I had you to go through this, I needed you to go through this, so that X could happen, Z could happen, Y could happen, and it's so that God can get the glory, and so that someone else can benefit. But then right after that, you got to go back to work. And it's like it's a never-ending journey. I know the Apostle Paul, before he took his final breath, he said, I fought a good fight. And I think, Dr. G, I think it's a fight, man.
That's right.
I think it's a fight, and it's a spiritual fight. And I think too many times the true believers – they wimp out. They don't want to fight. They want to give up. But you can't.
Amen.
You can't throw in the towel, and you have to continue to stand and let the Lord fight your battle. But you have to continue. We have to continue to be in the battle, and we can't give up. And we need people around us to encourage us to be able to hang on in there and hold on, and God will station angels and people around us that shows us his grace and his mercy. And I know during the times of Paul's imprisonment, he would send people, God would send people to relieve him, to encourage him, to bring him word, to bring him greetings that would encourage him. And so when we see each other going through battle and going through spiritual warfare, we should pray one for another. We should encourage each other as we all are standing in this thing together. Dr. G.
Well, you're absolutely right. And with that, because we have to stand, nobody's going to stand for us. And our standing will kind of like serve as an example to the people that are watching us. You know, we have to keep in mind mm-hmm. that it's not about us, but it's about reaching other people. And if they see us go through, that will help give them that extra strength that, okay, if my pastor can go through there, if my brother can go through there, then mm-hmm. I can too. And it reminds us, you know, as Jamal preached on Sunday, we have to trust the process. We've mm-hmm. got to trust what God has put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't be shaky, but mealy-mouthed Christians. Yeah, stuff stinks sometimes. Life stinks. And?
Mm-hmm.
But Like you said, God wants us to go back to work. You've gone through your moment of sadness, or you know, you don't want to say everybody goes through the pity party, but you know, you get down, you just get weak. But then after the Lord has picked you up, you've got to go back to work, because the work is not through. You know, for those of us that are real about this thing called ministry, it never ends until the Lord calls us. And we have to understand, because of what's going on in our society, like you said, we've got all kinds of false preachers, everybody's talking about the word, but nobody's really living it. And so it's up to the few of us that are for real to live that thing so that people can really see it.
Amen, amen. And it's a battle. And I'll tell anybody when they they come and they say, "Pastor, I've been called into the ministry," and I let them know right up front, it's going to cost you your life.
That's right.
And they look at me like I'm crazy. They're like, "What?" I said, "It's going to cost you your life." And Jesus said, "If any man is going to follow after him, then you got to pick up their cross and follow me." And you know, it's going to you're going to be a living sacrifice. And you know, I let them know it's not a plaything. Anyone that's been called into ministry, it's going to cost you. All the prophets that came before Jesus, they slew them. They were killed. They were sacrificed. And you know, when you're in ministry, you're a sacrifice. You give your life. You give your all for the cause of Christ. And you know, going into ministry, you need to understand that if people volunteer in our country, we have a volunteer military, and people know that, you know, they are asked to pay the ultimate sacrifice in combat, and you know, if you're a truly called into ministry, God is looking for you to give your all, and He requires you to go through some tough times.
Amen.
But at the end, you'll get your reward. But I don't want people to have this idea that everything's going to be roses, you know, in ministry. You know, it's for real, and spiritual warfare is for real. And when you go through, you'll know it's for real. And you'll thank God for His angels and His peoples in the moments that He comes and ministers you to you, but He'll ask you to get back up and get back in line, and continue on. And so that's where we're going to pick up in Acts 5, you go back to verse 20, and in Acts 5 verse 20, I'll be reading in NIV, and he'll say, "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." And that's after the Lord had brought them out. If you go back to verse 19, he said, "But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out." And so after they were brought out, after they've been delivered, after they've been ministered to, God put an angel in place and brought them out of the jail. God said, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life." In other words, go back to work. You know, you went through one trial, you went to another trial, God has brought you out, and now that you've been brought out, I want you to go and tell the people about this new life. And that's the way God is. God will let you know that He's there. He'll let you know that He cares. He'll put angels and people around you. He'll bring you out. And He says, "All right, don't sit on your laurels." And I think sometimes also people in ministry, they sit on laurels of what they did on yesterday and what they did, you know, 2 years ago. But God has more work to be done, and we just can't sit down on what we did years ago. So that's another lesson in this lesson. And so if we go to verse 21, it says, "At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people." And so you have to continue to be obedient. And one of the things in the spirit realm is the Satan will try to get you to be disobedient. He'll try to throw so many things in your way that you won't want to do what God says, and you won't want to follow through. And I've seen many preachers challenges come and they just say, forget it, I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, the people don't want to hear it. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like it. And they won't do it anymore. And you got a lot of preachers sitting on the sideline because of the challenges that have come their way. But Peter and John, at daybreak, they entered in the temple as they had been told and began to teach the people. And that's one of the things, Dr. G, is when you have a relationship with God, eventually, when God tells you something, it's going to get done whether you want to or not. So it's better off
Amen.
To do it willingly instead of having to come about it in after you went around the barn a couple of times. And I think Peter and John learned that it was better to do it right away. And that reminds me of the story when Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac, and God told him to go up and he'll show him a place. And he got up right away early in the morning and took Isaac. And it came through a process because Abraham was one to try to shortcut. He tried to do this, tried to lie, tried to scheme. But eventually after God, he had gotten strong in his faith. So when God asked him to do something, he jumped right up and, you know, he took his son, his only son. And, you know, before he pulled the knife up and he was getting ready to slay him, he saw that the angel showed him a ram caught in a thicket, and you know, God provided the sacrifice. But he trusted God so much after what he had gone through that he wasn't taking it for granted. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. And, you know, after you've been walk with God for a period of time, you've seen what God has done. You know, against all odds, you'll stand up and you'll do what God said. People think you're crazy, but because of your relationship with God, you know God and you know what he's done, you go ahead and do what you have to do. And I think a lot of times we have to get into that situation where we're saying, all right, God, you've done it before. I'm going to do it again. I might not understand it right now, but I'm going to press my way because I know that in the end it's going to work out, Dr. G.
Well, you know, I agree with you. And just like with Abraham, and I'd say with about everybody else during biblical days, mm-hmm. When we start out, God has to get our attention to the point that when our faith has gone through a few things and we've been challenged and tested,
mm-hmm.
and we at that point now that we know without a shadow of a doubt, if God say go, you go. If he says move to the left, move to the left. You don't have to ask
mm-hmm.
a bunch of questions
mm-hmm.
because you know that whatever he wants you to do, he's got a reason for doing it. But we're living in a time where a lot of people are still just not there yet, and they're still trying to pick their
mm-hmm.
way because they're still trying to do it on their own. I mean, I've been in this thing. My faith is so strong right now. Oh, Lord, God, tell me to just jump. All right, Lord, how high you want me to jump? You know, tithe. There was a portion in my life where I did not tithe. I was using God's money to pay Peter, to pay Paul. But after I married Sheila and we
mm-hmm.
really, and I began to understand what tithing is all about, I'm at the point now, okay, Lord, how much do you want this week? And when you get to that point,
right.
you know, Lord, just tell me what you want. And it doesn't matter. Okay, the bills are still there. The bill collectors are going to be there. Car notes got to be paid. The mortgage has
mm-hmm.
got to be paid. Lord, what do you want? And it takes something
mm-hmm.
to get us to that point. A lot of us are just hard-headed. And it takes us to have to go
mm-hmm.
through a whole lot before we will really become obedient. Now, I know I hear folk all the time talking about obedience is better than sacrifice. And some of them old folk, you know,
mm-hmm.
came up and that's all I heard. But yet they were still trying to do things their way or what they thought it
right.
should be according to tradition. No, God is not about tradition. He knows what he wants to be done.
Right.
So you just to take yourself out of the way and do it the way that he wants you to, whether you understand it or whether you like it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's where this is where they were, Peter and John. So right out of prison, you know, they went and started ministering again. And the reason it's important to get back up and get back in line is because the enemy is not going to stop. Mm. And you have to continue to stay on the battlefield because, you know, we're in, like you said, with that process with God come against those strongholds. And you have to be consistent, persistent. And so now that they're out and they're teaching the people, now God is getting ready to deal with those captors, those spiritual leaders that were trying to get them to stop teaching in the name of Jesus. And, you know, a lot of times you hear ministry and you hear people talk about all kind of stuff, but a lot of times they leave out the name of Jesus.
Man.
And as long as you're talking about name it, claim it, and you're talking about everything else, like you said, tradition and religion, and you're not talking about Jesus, you're okay. But when you start talking about Jesus, and the reason Jesus came and he had to die for the sins of the world, and Jesus and Peter and John started telling these Sadducees and Pharisees and religious leaders, you're the reason. You're the ones that killed him. You're the ones that put him in on that cross. When you begin to start telling them that the reason that the world and men are in this condition is because of you, they don't like that. And they begin to start attacking. And I say that's in this 21st century today, is you have these political leaders and religious leaders. And when you begin to start telling them the reason why the world is in this condition is because of you, and we wouldn't have, you know, people in these conditions, you know, around the world if it wasn't for the religious leaders and the political leaders that are, you know, setting up their good old boys and good old girls clubs.
Amen.
To keep the 1%, the riches in the world, and everybody else is, you know, poor. It's because of you. And when you begin to start exposing them, then they begin to start attacking you and try to shut you up. And so this is the situation where Peter and John came out of jail, went back, and God began to start dealing with the religious leaders. So we pick up in the second part of verse 21. Again, I'm reading from the NIV. It says, when the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. That's a big old bunch of religious folk. And they were getting ready to have this great big, you know, public, you know, hearing, you know, of Peter and John, you know, the whole assembly. I can see them now in their little outfits and get-ups and robes and chains and all this. They're going to make an example out of Peter and John. You know, they called together and they, you know, sent the go bring the prisoners forward, you know, and sent to jail for the apostles. But in verse 22, it says, but on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. In other words, they were not where they thought they were. In other words, God had intervened with his angel, and the place where they thought they were, they weren't. And a lot of times that what God will do is he will confound the wise. And in the place that they think you are, you're not there. When someone has beat you down and someone has taken things from you and treated you a certain way, but you still have a praise for God, or you're still in the place where you're giving God the glory, they can't find you where they think you should be. That's a lot of times people will try to manipulate you. People will try to, whether it's on your job, whether it's in the church, whether it's in your home, people will try to put you in a place where they're in authority and they have the upper hand, and they think you're always going to be down. You're always going to be in this position. But God has a way of bringing you out of where people might think you should be. And when you should have been down, now you're up. When you should have been out, now you're in. And so in that verse, it says they went back and reported because they didn't find them there. In other words, what they thought was meant for my bad, God meant for my good and brought me out. And so in verse 23, it says, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the door. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. In other words, God had delivered them, and it was nobody but God. And what happens is when God delivers you from those situations where people thought she had you down, they thought you had you locked up, they thought you had you out, and you get delivered, what happens is they begin to get fearful because they know that it was nobody but God that brought you out. And all of us have been in those situations, like I said, those look at God moments where you were in a situation where it seemed physically impossible for you to be delivered, for you to be brought up on top, where you were on the bottom and now you're on the top, where you were the tail but now you're the head. It seems impossible, but people get scared when they see God bring you to a place where only God can bring it to you, and they begin to start saying, how did this happen? And they begin to start fearing the power of God. Dr. G.
And along with that, you know, they will try to give credit to everything and everybody but God. They know it couldn't have been nobody but him, but they resisted to the point where they try to find excuses as to why it had to be mm-hmm. God. And like you said, you know, it's in all walks of life, in the corporate field, definitely the church. But again, it shows mm-hmm. the lack of faith and where their belief was.
Amen. And if you look at verse 24, it says, on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. In other words, they were like, oh, crap.
Amen.
This is going to be bad because we thought we had them this way, but it turned out this way. And so we're in trouble. What's going on? And see, this is how God will deal with his adversaries, and God will take and make them look like fools when they begin to try to oppress, when they begin to try to do ungodly things. God will eventually reveal them for who they are. You know, they wanted to put on this big show, the full assembly of the elders. You know, God made them look foolish. Bring the prisoners here. And then the report came back. The prisoners are not here. They gone. Don't know where they are. And then someone out of the crowd in verse 25, as we were talking about last night, the look at God moment in verse 25, then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple teaching the people. In other words, look at God. And When this happened, the look at God moment, what happens is all this people that thought they were in charge, thought they were going to be on top, what happens is in verse 26, at that the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. In other words, God flipped the script on them. So when they thought they were going to make an example of them and had all this assembly, God had already prepared it. God had already delivered them. God had already set them out. They were already back to work doing the work of the Lord. And they showed them to all the people, all these assemblies, that these people didn't have power, but God had the power. And like you were saying, Dr. G, and God got the glory. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line is God's going to get the glory. God, in the psalm, he said he'll make your enemies your footstool, and he will reveal them for who they are. It takes some time. It takes steadfastness. It takes some commitment. But eventually, God will be exalted, and we will be exalted with him round about above our enemies. If we stick with God, if we stick with that plan, if we stick with the process, and he will reveal himself and we will be the ones standing, and our enemies will be under our feet, Dr. G.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about that
God,
whole thing
is, glory.
You know, you hit it, if we will stand and see the salvation of the Lord, but we are an impatient people. I see it every day on the Beltway, folk
mm-hmm.
coming up behind, and you know, even though in just a little normal city, folk are in a hurry, and they're going nowhere. And because
yeah.
we are an
mm-hmm.
impatient people, we want what we want when we want it. It doesn't matter if it's coming from God, we want it now. And then when God doesn't give
mm-hmm.
it to us when we want it, then we get mad. But here in this situation, it shows us the power of God, and it also lets us know that these religious leaders, although they had called them a meeting, that's what I had to go through, they were afraid that showing them up like that, it would cause the people to become in an uproar and
mm-hmm.
remove physically out of power. And that was all
yeah.
that was about. They could
yeah.
care less about God doing it. They just wanted to stay in their positions.
Mhm. Yeah, they wanted to save face. And
save face.
You know, so we pick up in verse 27, it says the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. So here they go again, standing before them. And they said, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Talking about the name of Jesus. He said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. In other words, mm. he putting us on the spot. We told you not to preach in the name of Jesus, yet you have filled Jerusalem. In other words, they didn't stop preaching, and no matter what the cause, no matter what it was, and they kept preaching. And it says, you're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. In other words, they're saying, you're making us look bad. This is not a good situation. They were in a bad spot because they were revealed for who they were. And God will reveal people. People can hide and sneak around, whether it's political, religious. But eventually it'll come out, and they'll be found guilty of the sins that they have committed. And this is what, by preaching and teaching the name of Jesus, it will call out the truth. It will shine light in darkness. It will reveal those things that are not true, the things that are not of God. And every man will be found guilty, and only God will stand true. And as long as you stand on the word of God and preaching the word of God, you're going to have resistance. You're going to have pushback. But eventually the truth is going to come out, Dr. G.
And like you said, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, and that's the problem with a lot of these so-called preachers. When times get rough and they want to run, they want to stop preaching, stop coming to church, stop doing the things that they know they should, because life is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it teaches us that
yeah.
it's more, said in the beginning, it's more the ministry than that. And we have to stand pat. We have to stand fast because God will show folk up for what they are. And if you say
yeah.
that you believe in the Lord and not doing what he wanted to do, believe me, he will show you up. It may not come when,
mm-hmm.
when you think, but it's going to come. And it's an opportunity for us to do some self-examination because we think that we have arrived because
right.
we claim that we're saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. But yet the Bible also teaches us that there's none righteous but him, and that we all have sinned and come short of
that's
the glory
right.
of God. So every day, you know, we fall short. And that's why we have to be not concerned with this world, but be ye transformed every day by the
mm-hmm,
renewing of
mm-hmm.
our minds. We've got to get our focus back on God
mm-hmm.
to do what he wants every day of our lives.
Amen, amen, and this is what Jesse said. We have to focus on God and do what he wants us to do. And so in verse 29, again, I'm reading from the NIV, it said, Peter and the other apostles replied after they were standing before the Sanhedrin and being questioned and told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And what they said is, in verse 29, he says, we must obey God rather than human beings.
Amen.
And you know, it in the King James in verse 29 says, then Peter and the other apostles answered that we ought to obey God rather than men. And when you get to that point where you're not concerned, you know, man is a peculiar, fickle, sometimey human being. He has some ways, you know, and he's a fair weather friend. He's up sometimes, he's down,
mm-hmm.
sometimes he's your friend, sometimes he's not your friend. And he's always looking out for himself. Yeah, I'm reminded of Peter. Not Peter, I'm reminded of Adam in the Garden of Eden. And God gave him instructions and told him, you know, every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that tree, because in the day you eat of it, you surely die. And God gave him everything, gave him dominion and authority over everything. God gave him a wife, and he had everything. And everything was going his way. And then he got challenged. Him and his wife got challenged. And they fell to the test. And then when he fell to the test, he wanted to blame everything on God. You know, the Bible was saying it was not good for a man to be alone. And, you know, there was somebody for everybody. But for Adam, there was nobody. And God bought him his wife. And he got slap happy. This is woman. She been called woman because she came out of my egg, and she was bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and he was happy until the pressure and the test came, and he failed the test, and then he wanted to blame God, and he wanted to blame the woman. He wanted to, man, fickle, blame everybody else but me. And that's just the human nature of man. He's funny. He's you know, the angel said that what is man that God loves him so much that he'll come and look upon him. God loves him even in his shortcoming. God loves us, and the human being is fickle. So you can't put your trust in man. You have to put your trust in God. And
amen.
You see it all the time. People in the church, one day they're spiritual, the next day they're fleshy. One month they're spiritual, the next month they're fleshy. And it's like, you can't predict them. They'll come in. You can't predict them. You're like, well, what happened? They were doing so well on a spiritual high, and now they're right back in the valley, you know, in the flesh. And that's just the nature of man. Dr. D, I've seen preachers go through it. I've seen
mm-hmm.
the deacons, I've seen everybody from the pulpit to door go through it, where they're on the right path, walking in the spirit, and something will happen, some test will come, and they're right back, you know, in the flesh, and you have to learn to obey God rather than man, because man is up and down, you know, and he'll change on you at the drop of a hat, and you'll like, where did that come from? But you have to learn to obey God and trust God rather than man, Dr. G.
Hey, man, you're right. Mankind is and has been from the very beginning. He'll change, and the only thing that can really offset that is the spiritual nature. That's why the Bible teaches that when we accept Jesus, you know, old things are passed away and all
uh-huh.
things be- too. But again, it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. You've got to walk in the Spirit. You've got to let the Spirit take over. But we get so
caught
up our own little fickle selves, and like you said, you know, with those emotions, we, you know, one minute we're happy, the next minute we're down in the dumps, then we're mad with everybody, cussing folk out, leave the church, all that kind of stuff. No, that takes too much energy. I'd rather just be on a high, knowing that, okay, the Lord has got my back. So why should I be in despair? Why should
right.
I get all beside myself? Why should I leave the mountaintop to come down in the valley if I don't have to? And that, again, you know, we have to allow the Lord, but we got to give God something to work with. But, you know, we want the Lord to do it all.
Uh-huh.
No, he We got to give him something. We got to get into that word. We got to pray daily without ceasing. We got to come to Sunday school. We got to make up in our minds that come hell or high water, I'm still going to serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know, that's what Peter and John, the apostles, they got in their mind. They said, we're going to obey God.
Amen.
You know, other than man. You know. And then they went on to continue to preach. In verse 30, said, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on the cross. So they bold now, buddy.
Amen.
They call it a spade a spade.
Hello.
The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead. This is why we're talking about him, whom you killed by hanging on the cross. God exalted him, this is verse 31, to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. He said, God, even though you killed him, God still wanted to bring you to repentance and forgive you your sins. In verse 32, here it is. He said, we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Good gracious alive. That's powerful right there. They said, we're not gonna obey man, because we know the God of our ancestors, who you killed by hanging him on the cross, and God has exalted him and placed him at his right hand, and that he might bring you to repentance and forgive you your sin. He said, we're witnesses. We know this God. We know this Jesus. We know his Holy Spirit that God has given us for those who obey him. And this is the power that God has given to the believers, to every believer, to be able to stand on his word, to be able to declare his word, to be able to live his word, and to be able to proclaim to those who are lost the repentance and forgiveness of sin. And when that message goes out, that clarion message goes out, that gospel message goes out, it will change hearts and minds. It will cause people to come to a crossroads, whether they're going to choose life or they're going to choose death. And
Amen.
And you know, there's no gray area when the truth has gone out. There's no variable to the truth. The truth is the truth. You know, a lie is going to be a lie. And this is what the apostles Peter and John are staying on, and they're going to obey God rather than obey man, because like we said, man is fickle, and he'll flip flop and do what he wants when he wants to do it. But if you stand on the word of God, you'll be found in his righteousness. Dr. G.
Well, you know, the whole thing is just like it said in there in the scripture, when you stand fast, the Holy Spirit will come, and it will give you the strength that you need in order to continue on doing what the Lord does. I think too often church folk forget that, you know, that the Lord is there, the Spirit is there, but we want to try,
mm-hmm.
we want to take over and do the job of
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit. God don't need our help, and that's the problem where a lot of folks go through, and that's why they're going through so many emotional challenges and changes. They're not happy, and I'm talking about people in the church. They're not happy, or they run,
yep.
or they do this. But they, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to work, and it will take control and give you what you need in order to overcome, and you'll have the victory. It just may not come when you want
yes.
it. But if you allow
right,
the Holy
right.
Spirit to work, it will do its job.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to give some folks a chance to chime in here. We're going to get on the phone line. But we want to just ask that from that verse 29, is it better to obey God, to trust in God, or to trust in man? And we're going to go to the phone lines. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is better to obey God than to obey man, because God knows all about us. He knows what we need more than what man knows what we need. But sometimes we feel like the person is right there, and we have a tendency to trust what they're saying more than what God has told us, because it goes back to what you all were talking about tonight, having that patience and to wait on God. And so a lot of times, because God don't come right when we want it, or because the situation looked like it's going to get worse instead of get better, sometimes we put our faith in man instead of God. But but we know that we have to trust him. And if we trust his word, then our trust in God will build up as much as our trust in his word. And the more we get into his word, and the more we begin to develop that personal relationship, let that word live inside of us. Because knowing the word, and it doesn't live inside, if it's not a living word inside of us, then, you know, we still not trusting God. But as we build that relationship with him and be honest with him and say, you know, Lord, I'm trying. I don't fully understand right now. I'm not there right now, so I need you to help me, you know. And when we begin to tell God that we need strength in this area, you know, and not be the super creatures that we think we are, you know, and really ask him to strengthen us, to build us up, to build our confidence up in him, and let the Holy Spirit work inside of us and increase our, let us walk with spiritual eyes and not with our physical eyes, then we have a better relationship with God, and we will obey him. We have to pray and ask God to help us to obey him. Because we live in a world with a whole lot of temptations, and sometimes we look at the things, as I said before, we look at the things around us. But if we're constantly praying and say, Lord, I love you, I want to be obedient to you, help me to do that which is right.
Amen.
And God will help us to do it. And then when we make mistakes, if we go to him and confess it and let him know, I come short in this area, then he will work with us. But we got to acknowledge that we need him and we need his help.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller, last four digits, 1487. 1487, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I know, I have learned over the years, and I know that it's best for you to trust in God and not man, because man is going to always just drop you. And I just trust in God because I believe him, and I'm going to obey him because I believe him, because I have faith in him, and I'm going to stand for him, and I'm going to wait on him, and I have my belief in him, and that's what's going to make me trust him and obey him every time over anybody, so because I'm working for him. And the devil will come in. He wants us to break down. He'll do everything. If we don't stop doing this or stop doing that, he'll come for you because he knows what to put before you. But see, that don't bother me no more, because I thank God that the Lord has shown me who he is, what he can do. He's bigger. He's the author and the finisher, and there ain't no in between. So I'm for God. And I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to wait on him. I don't care what kind of situation come up. Amen.
Amen.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I was saying amen. I was through. I'm sorry if I took up too much time.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor C?
See, something happened, and that...
So it did. Well, thanks for your comment, Eilise.
Yes, thank you, Reverend Gregory. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. It just tried to kick me off the line. We're going to go to the next caller. Ask what digits. 3343. 3343 on
there. Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Yes, I trust God. I've come a long way. I see, you know, it is every Thursday, some kind of way, the devil going to try to get in on me to try to destroy. I don't know why he picked Thursday, but he always picked Thursday to make me angry. And I know, I know God has brought me too far and too long. That I've been through too many things and don't trust God. That would be so stupid. Yes, I am good, Lord, in my glory. And I'm still learning. I'm growing. I know I'm on the right track. I'm in good shape, and I'm going on. And thank God for me that I get a chance to every morning to get up on my knees and say thank you for my feet and to let the devil put his weight right on through me to 8 o'clock
Amen.
On Thursday that he can keep on going. I don't care
Amen.
Where he's at. He can try to stop me, but as long as he ain't stop my mouth, I'm all right. He can
Amen.
Stop my hand
all right.
And my hip, but I ain't gonna quit. I keep on. Amen. I'm on the journey. I'm keep on growing. I'm learning. I read my Bible, and I learn the word. Some of the definition I don't understand, but I keep on kicking at it. And I get to, if I don't make it, it ain't because I didn't try. I'm keep on going.
That's
I'm all right. Thank God for you. Thank you, Father, this day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last word is 1285. 1285, you're on the air.
Yes, praise the Lord. I'm glad to be on the line tonight to know where I am because I've heard a whole lot of just exactly where I am in this walk. You know, I had joined the church because my old church had closed, doors had closed, and I'm thankful to God that he allowed me to go through the first church, which was the very first church I ever went to help me to raise my children. However, when they closed the doors and they sent me somewhere else, then I was asked about a ministry. What did ministry mean to you? So I want to thank and praise the Lord for this just for allowing me to be able to have enough sense to even call in because you all ask the question, is it better to obey God or man? I always obey man because that's all I knew. And it still seems like it's all I know because right now I found out that I need to go back and self-examine. I've been showing up. I know that what's in me going to come out of me. I'm one of those that come in and I could be all overcome, you know, with the song and all of that. But then something come up and I'm right back out. So I also know that this is a choice. And from what I've seen here lately, there's a choice. I understand it is a process. Right now, I don't even want to hear from nobody, you know, and I'm being real honest about that. I don't have a ministry, you know. I didn't want to come into church and perform any kind of duty or service. I want to come in and find out where I was, or who I was, who I am. But I thank the Lord for this conversation because I'm writing down all of these things and realize this is a choice, and I do choose to back up. Even if you allow me to start all over again, then so be it, because I am one of them wishy-washy, fickle, peculiar. Well, I'm not peculiar because the Bible says that you're peculiar people, and I think that's a special person. No, I'm one of those wishy-washy, fickle types, and I've just been exposed. And so now just the Lord and I will work it out. Pretty much, thanks for letting me share.
Amen. Thank you for your
Amen.
Comment tonight. We go to one more caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody. I definitely, I know it's better to trust God than to trust man, but I think for me, the challenges I've had in life is that, you know, I found early on that it's easier to trust man than it is to trust God, because I know sister touched on it, that, you know, man is there. I can touch man. I can see man. I can interact with man. But then, you know, this thing called faith is what we have to have with God, where we read about him or we're taught about him. But, you know, some of us don't really get to experience him the way that others have. So I'm like, well, I'm supposed to trust this entity, but I'm in this world and there's a man right here or a woman right here. And it's so easy to trust and see things. And it gives me a level of comfort. And I think ultimately that's what I had to realize as a Christian, that I had to be comfortable with God, because a lot of times our uncertainties, we put our trust in situations or in people that make us feel comfortable, that make us feel like, hey, maybe, you know, Joe Blow did come through for me one time years ago, so why would I not trust him again? But this may be a unique situation where you may need to lean on God. So I didn't start getting comfortable with God until I developed a relationship with God and I learned more about myself. And then once I realized that a lot of the struggles and things that I've gone through, I put my trust in God and recognized that he brought me through, then I started getting that positive reinforcement and saying, you know what? God's been there all along. I just chose not to see it, or I just couldn't see it because I never established a clear relationship with God. And I think as Christians, once we get that level of comfort with Christ, it's going to be easy. Now, granted, it may not happen when you want to. You may be waiting a little while, and you're going to always be tempted, but you have to have that trust, and you most importantly have to have that patience to know that God's gotten me through other battles, through other storms, through other struggles. God's going to get me through it again, but it is a process, and it is a lifelong process. It's not anything that you're going to master, because every situation is going to be different. It could be a loved one. It could be work. It could be your kids. It could be your spouse. It could be just your own personal demons that you're dealing with. It could be drugs. It could be so many different things, and the devil's going to know how to attack you to make you get further away from Christ and try to put your trust in man. That's what the devil wants. So the devil's going to learn, like, okay, well, I tried to trip him up last week with this, but he kind of got that one. Let me mix this with that and throw it at him and see if he still trusts God to bring him through it. So, you know, I stagger and I stumble, but I'm still standing. I'm still moving forward. And that's the main thing that I do. But, you know, again, I appreciate the dialogue. I appreciate the calls, because every day could be something. You know, we all go through things. We have our ups. Mm-hmm. We have our downs. But, you know, just continue to remember that, you know, God, you know, is going to always be there for us. And, you know, and never lose sight that God is going to place some folks in your life to try to help us along the way. But, you know, you have to have that, again, I can't stress it, relationship with Christ to know who's really there for you, who's really there that's going to kind of help you along the way. Like people like, you know, Pastor Gregory, Sister Gregory, like Minister Kason, First Lady Kason, God has put you in our lives for a reason, and we trust God. And that's why there's no doubt that what you guys are doing is having a powerful impact on all of our lives. But, you know, it had to start with trusting God. You know, I had to trust God to say, well, you know, I'm working, God, on Thursdays from 8 to 9. I'm really not trying to make the time. But even now, being out on a job site, I find time to step away to put my trust in God and to get better and to learn and to put my trust in man. But, you know, I truly thank you guys for it, because as I find myself making a way to apply God to my life and to trust God, doors have opened for me, and struggles don't seem to last too long, or they're not as bad, or I look at them a little differently when I go through them. But that all started by me making the decision to say, you know what, I know what I'm going to get from man. I have stories and histories to show what I'm going to get from man. Now I'm ready to put my trust in God, because I'm ready for a different outcome. I'm ready to be that person that I can talk all day long about, but I never seem to can get there until I started putting my trust and faith in God. So, you know, it's definitely a process. It's not going to always be easy, but I had to learn the hard way. But nonetheless, I learned, and that's the most important part. It's not, you know, how long it takes. It's just ultimately, if you get to the point where you learn that God is who you should put your trust in without a shadow of a doubt, he will make sure that everything is taken care of, and ultimately we, his children, are taken care of. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Dr. G, it's been a good night.
Amen.
Powerful testimonies. Any last words, and ask you to close us out in prayer?
Well, I think, you know, I think everyone really has kind of touched on it. It all depends on each of our relationship with God. And when we get to the point where we have a strong fellowship, a strong relationship with God, we'll learn how to hear the Lord's voice and obey him. And even while we're working to get stronger, everything that we need to know is right there in that Bible. But we've got to take the time to get in it and know when God is speaking and not so much tune him out and listen to what other folk are saying. And with that, we're going to ask everyone to bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just one more evening.
Thank
Lord,
you,
Lord, I thank you for what we've heard, what we've been teaching. Lord, I thank you for what we've learned. Help us, oh God, now to know your voice, to know when you are speaking. Help us, oh God, that we to learn how to obey you rather than obey man. Father, we claim the victory right now. I pray for these that are on. Lord, I'm praying for those that did not have a desire. I pray that you will do the convicting and that you will show them that they need the Lord in order to make it. Father, we thank you. We ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.